The Mayor. The worldwide professionalization of politics has led to overly polished, TV-ready soundbite factories filling our legislative bodies. But politicians are, in their hearts, weirdos. Many cities across the world, and in the U.S. in particular, have an entire layer of municipal government that is a sort of terrarium of idiocy and Bonapartism. In that layer, the role of mayor appears to be a way to keep the local tyrants occupied. These local tyrants, the last bastion of true weirdos in politics, these are the stories of those mayors. Hello, citizens, and welcome to No Gods, No Mayors, where we dive into the world of the weirdest, worst, and most whimsical municipal executives human history has to offer. I'm the mayor of this episode, Matty Lipchansky, and I'm here with my deputies, Riley and November.
Hi. Hello. It's a genuine pleasure to take a stupid idea that we had from a group chat largely about Eric Adams.
That's right.
The most mayor of all time.
I don't think we could ever even do him. That's the gag, right? Mm. We never, ever, ever cover him.
I think we could maybe work our way up to Eric Adams, but we have to start with like a normal, comprehensible mayor who's never done anything weird, right? We need to, you know, someone's not like associated with a city as like, you know, large and fractious as New York City.
No.
It's a straight down the line lunch pail mayor.
A lunch pail mayor, yeah.
Because there's so many mayors that are sort of non-Euclidean and you can't get your hands around them. Mm. But this is episode one of No Gods, No Mayors. Rudy Giuliani.
Giuliani.
The big man.
I mean, I have a drop of him saying friggin' Giuliani if you want that from when he was on SNL.
Let's hear it.
Friggin' Giuliani!
you're not going to have friggin' Giuliani to kick around anymore.
It's a Doppler-shifted Rudy there. I hope you're excited to hear Rudy Giuliani in the persona of a New York cab driver saying friggin' Giuliani while being dropped down a mine shaft about 50 or 60 more times.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you had to get that taxi to that mine shaft. Yeah, you know? I had to get to the bottom of there.
My God.
That's where they had the New York slice. So. Yeah. For example, that's one thing you could say.
Friggin' Giuliani closed all the mine shafts.
Before we started the episode, we had the most wonderful speculation of just the, because Rudy Giuliani has been like, he's had a life where when he was in view of everybody in the world, managed to act normal for like 6 months.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of normal. He acted like corrupt, but not like insane.
Yeah. And like he always wanted to run for president, and like going further than that was the thing that, like, this is a kind of theory, right? And I'm going to put the theory first in this, right? Because the rest of the podcast is the praxis. That a lot like being a colonel in the military is kind of the ceiling for a lot of the real freaks, because you can't get promoted to general through Congress. I think mayor is as high in politics as you can get with any of the like really oppositional personality disorders.
Yeah.
If you've alienated everyone around you, you end up funneled into this kind of like mayoral cul-de-sac, right? And I think the long career of Rudy Giuliani post-mayoralty, that's sort of a consequence of that, of hitting the kind of like mayor ceiling.
Yeah.
He tried to break the municipal ceiling, and ultimately it drove him mad.
Mm. It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, ultimately, it's like, hey, if you're like an oppositional defiant disorder weirdo, you're sort of prone to, and you do what he does.
We've been doing this for like 3 minutes. We've already started pathologizing him.
Well, that's the whole reason for the show, is there's so much to dig into with mayors, right? Because they're all so strange. It's like such a strange position.
I need to be honest with my co-hosts and the listeners here. There was a period of about 2 weeks where my fiance said, no more fucking mayor talk.
It's a thread, right? And once you start pulling on that thread of like, this weird guy was mayor, you realize that there is a kind of like global network of absolute freaks who are in charge of like stuff at the city level, because that's just every country in the world just parks those guys.
Not now, honey. I'm entering mayor space.
adult mayor policy lover.
It's just imagining like 90s internet hackers and movies flying around the sort of like cyber tunnel, but it's all just images of different mayors. And that's where Riley is spending all his time with a big VR helmet on.
Every building in Mayor Space is a wireframe city hall.
But like, so there was a period of time where like we'd be having dinner and I would say to my fiance, like, oh, there was a mayor in Italy who tried to like get the who tried to force the entire town to go in a run club with him so he could lose weight, which he said he gained from being mayor and having dinner with people. Or like there was a mayor in Brisbane who like got fake abs because he thought it would help his reelection campaign if he was shirtless all the time. That's bizarre.
That
I'm
rocks.
Obsessed with it.
We will talk about every mayor. This is our solemn promise to you.
Yeah, if there's a mayor you want to hear about, you don't even have to write in.
No, just like think it really hard.
Yo, just wait. Just wait.
We operate a kind of like mayoral cerebro. Yeah, you know, gonna, like yes! we will come to you. We will hear your pleas.
To me, my mayors.
The Brotherhood of Evil Mayors. Chief among God is... You may have heard of this guy, Rudy Giuliani. He was mayor of New York City. For a while, he was America's mayor.
Yeah, he was, but he had much more humble beginnings, our friend Rudy.
He began life as a mere baby.
I think in a lot of my research into mayors and sort of flying around mayor space and operating the mayor cerebro, is I'm actually finding a lot of mayors started as children.
It's crazy,
originally,
you know,
which like, I yeah. think is like an interesting sort of commonality that they all have.
Started from the maternity ward, now we're here.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's so popular to have like Baby New Year be like the mayor of an unincorporated town. Mm-hmm. You know, like what's more fun than a baby mayor?
It's true.
A baby who'll grow up to be mayor.
Rudy Giuliani, mayor of New York City and former baby.
This is why meeting a baby is so exciting, right? Because they're like thrumming with possibility for like, what city will you be mayor of?
For a former baby, future corpse.
All right, current mayor. it's good. We're 7 minutes and we're our first episode and we've already got merch. So this is great.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, we've got merch, we've got the mission statement, we've got the theory.
Yeah, we're fucking, this is rocking and rolling. Mm. All right, okay. So Rudy Giuliani was born in 1944 in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. The most compelling thing about him to me is that his father reportedly, this is the way Rudy, I think, or like a biographer told it, is that his father, Harold, wanted to be a boxer, but could not be a boxer because he needed glasses. And then he started robbing people instead. You know, the other option.
Yeah, you don't need great eyesight to do that, I guess.
It's like going to university and clearing. It's like you want to get into boxer, but you'll take robber.
Yeah,
basically.
He ended up going to Sing Sing, which is a prison here in the beautiful...
Just like getting robbed by a guy and he's like, but what I really wanted to do was box.
Yeah, that's right. It's whispering it.
Getting robbed by a guy wearing glasses, just being like, you really wouldn't hit me, please. Please don't defend yourself. I'm wearing glasses.
It's surprisingly difficult to mug someone when you're wearing the gloves.
That's right.
I'm just like walking down like a darkened city block at night, and there's a guy wearing one of the big like sort of dressing gowns, just like lounging against something, and I'm just like, oh boy.
Yeah, but he's got glasses on, so you know he's not a boxer, but he's a robber.
You know, he washed out of boxing. You could probably take
it. Yeah, no one with that level of myopia could ever be a boxer.
When his robber boxer father got out of prison, he went to go work for his brother-in-law, Leo D'Avanzo.
Leo D'Avanzo, yeah. Like, the problem with this is that, like, all of these dudes being Italian-Americans will have Italian names. Mm-hmm. They're not all mob-affiliated.
No.
Many of them are.
this one is. He was a loan shark, and Rudy started working as an enforcer at the bar that Leo ran.
No, Harold, not Rudy.
Sorry,
presumably.
Harold.
Yeah.
Rudy is the mayor.
A baby loan shark.
Jesus.
Hey, look, it's a cute idea.
Listen, I was just sort of backdoor. Sorry, I should come clean with everybody. I was backdoor pitching a show where there's a baby who runs a loan sharking bar and his dad is an enforcer. and he's wearing a boxing gown and the big gloves. And I thought it'd be funny, like a cool, like, I don't know, like an Adult Swim show or...
They're going to animate that with AI and it's going to look terrible.
Oh, yeah, of course. Or what if we pitch it to Elon Musk and then it's like, yeah, the baby loan shark is not woke.
So like Rudy's dad was mob affiliated, right?
Yes. Which pays off.
Yeah, because I remember one of the things about Rudy was he was like an anti-mob guy. And you'd think that's a kind of compelling narrative to be like, oh, you know, grew up in communities where like this organized crime had like a stranglehold and everything, even like my own sort of attempted boxer father. And I like transcended it and I became the mob's greatest enemy. But he didn't do that. Instead, what he just did was kind of lie about it.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, oh, that doesn't sound like my father. He was too busy getting his eyes checked, hoping they were fixed.
But he claims that he did not know about this and only found out reading a biography of himself.
That's the best way to find out anything about yourself.
I'm just hearing about this for the first time, actually.
How are you going to Google yourself before Google becomes like widespread? Also, I like that the biography is called Rudy.
Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy with an exclamation mark.
I considered buying a copy of Rudy and bringing it upstate New York when I was hanging out for the week last week. And then I was like, I can't enter that much of a mayor. I'm already so mayored up. I'm up to my tits and mayors and
you
I can't.
Is if you go into that part of mayor space, all of the like aldermen have skulls instead of numbered levels. Mm-hmm. Like we need to level up before we can handle reading.
Yeah,
Rudy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we need better gear.
Yeah, yeah.
But also the other thing, right, is if Rudy is like, oh yeah, no, I've never known anyone mob affiliated, and then like presides over a cleanup of the mob. So many anti-corruption efforts in anywhere where there's endemic corruption really just end up being factionalized by one of the corrupt operations.
Right.
Yeah. Like the NYPD, for instance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, we'll get to that. But like at the time, being born as a baby in like 1940s America as an Italian American, right? You got like the kind of like list of approved occupations, right?
Yeah.
Which is you could be, I don't know, like a firefighter or a cop or a mob guy or a boxer or priest.
Mm-hmm. Priest.
Before we go into priest, did you know that? In the 1930s gangster movie Little Caesar, that list of approved occupations,
pizza.
That list of approved occupations was put onto film because the film censor board at the time didn't want Italian Americans like getting the wrong message. So at the end of the movie, there's like, I shit you not, there is a chef with a twirly mustache, like police officer, and a longshoreman. Mm-hmm. Who are sat at a couch and they come out of nowhere. This scene comes out of
positive
nowhere.
Positive role models for young Italian Americans.
Every time they sit down and it just says, and like with a huge like stamp, like Italian, bam, Italian, bam.
So they literally, that was in a movie for like moral purposes, was like positive role models for Italians.
Yeah.
They were like, but how can we stay out of organized the crime? And then
a narrator turns to the screen and he's like, or turns to the camera and he's like, well, these people aren't just valued members of their community. They're also Italian.
And young Rudy is like in the cinema watching this going like, I could be a pizza chef.
Yeah. A pizza chef.
Yeah. A pizza chef.
I could be Little Caesar pizza.
Instead of what my dad does, which is try to hit people for money, but instead he swings really short because of how bad his eyesight is, and they get so alarmed by him like shadow boxing in front of them that they pay him.
That's actually, I mean, there's no crime there.
It's true, yeah.
I'm just punching the air, and if you walk over here. Okay, so in terms of the approved vocations, he did very famously, this was like part of his narrative that he told everybody that he considered the priesthood. A childhood friend of his became a priest, and they were planning to enter the priesthood together.
Gay sex is like the 40th least gay thing you can do with another dude, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
That's right. The thing that was really compelling to me is that I was reading a bunch of old interviews from the 90s when he was like, you know, contemporaneous with his mayorship. And there was a 1997 one where they interviewed his childhood friend, Alan Placa, who also presided over his second marriage.
That feels Catholicly dubious.
Yeah, and then there's an interview with Plaka, and there was a profile of Giuliani, and Giuliani said that he and Mr. Plaka even thought of just getting PhDs and becoming, quote, practicing philosophers, hanging out on a shingle and just sitting somewhere developing ideas and thoughts.
Boomers could really fucking do anything, couldn't they?
It was just sort of, I don't know why this stuck with me, but the idea of like, well, I could be a priest or I could be just a guy who thinks things.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could be the president.
Yeah, like I'm going to have a bunch of big ideas, you know?
I'm more of an ideas man and that I sit around thinking.
I'm not going to be like my father and get stuck in the boring old loan shark business. I'm going to break into the thoughts industry.
This is the like secret 13th verse of Fast Car.
But he went off to college with the goal of going to law school. And I think I found something in that same article that was very sort of instructive for what happened to him later, is that Giuliani was running for the presidency of a fraternity called Phi Rho Pi.
Mm.
And he was running against this other guy who wanted a guy named Sal Scarpato.
Again, like all of these people will be named like this for the rest of the episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This happened at Manhattan College, which is confusingly in the Bronx, of course.
It's aspirational.
It's aspirational.
Yeah, of course. One day you can all be Knickerbockers.
But Giuliani was running against this guy, Sal Scarpato, who wanted to have more parties. And Giuliani, according to Mr. Scarpato later in life, he got a call right before the election from one Harold Giuliani, who asked him to withdraw from the election, saying it was more important for Rudy to be the frat president because Rudy was someone going places.
Yeah, his dad showed up and started punching the air in front of me. He was throwing like really nice jabs and crosses, but they were all landing like a foot short, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's very funny for like Mr., you know, proud son of Brooklyn, like enemy of the mob, has his mob enforcer father telling guys to drop out of a collegiate fraternity presidential race.
This is like the cockamamiest thing that the mob has ever fixed. It's like a C plot and kind of like a middling Sopranos episode. It's like, oh yeah, we got to fix the election for Phi Rho Kappa or whatever.
Yeah. It's like if you imagine the Sopranos was written by a worse writer,
yeah,
it would have been played for laughs. Polly going to like Meadows University. And like intimidating like the person running against her to be a sorority president.
You don't understand. She's going to be an LMSW tone.
Yeah, it's treated like a fucking boxing match. Yeah. Like, you go down in the third.
Now Yuz is going to take a D.
Except this guy doesn't know anything about boxing matches.
That's true.
Yuz is going to take a dive in the fifth innings.
You go down in the 50th. By the third period, your ass is down. I got a good boxing team. Our goon Ty Domi knows how to put down the pain. This is a hockey reference for those of you who don't know.
I was going
to
say, I caught Ty Domi. No, nefarious enforcer.
Just guy who has been watching boxing all his life, but because he never got glasses, it's just a kind of fuzzy square with two dots in it.
I'm gonna come over there and I think hug you. I'm not sure.
I'm gonna come over there. We're gonna do the thing where we hug for a little bit before the ref tells us to stop.
I'm gonna sit down, I think, on a stool or other brown shape, and then.
And then another shapes. He's gonna spray me with water, perhaps.
It has been described to me, but I cannot tell.
You are maybe gonna get pretty. Hey, I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you, and maybe you won't. I'm pretty bad aim.
It would be a real shame if I punched you, but I'm not sure. That's never happened, actually.
Hey, this is a very nice house. It would be a shame if this or one of the other ones near it got burnt down.
Jesus. Okay.
I had nothing to contribute to that. It was so good. It flung me back into the role of audience member.
Yeah. Well, this is actually my pitch for my sort of backdoor pilot for my show, The Blind Mobster.
Yeah, The Blind Assassin. Yeah.
It's a spinoff of my show, Rudy! About a baby who runs a bar.
This is like Rudy origins, you know?
Yeah, young Rudy.
Yeah.
Baby Rudy, of course.
Baby Rudy, as we all know and love. So he was then the next stop for our mayor in question was NYU Law School.
Mm-hmm. Well, no one who went to NYU Law could be an evil man.
Yeah, that's right. Go Bobcats. Mm. But, you know, according to Representative Peter T. King, who is a Republican from Long Island.
Yeah, wild dude in and of himself, by the way. Like,
just go Google a photo of him. He looks like one of the stone people from Neverending Story.
Yeah, all the kind of neuroses about being Italian-American and born in the 40s that are folded into Rudy. That, but Irish, right?
Yes.
Loves advocating for the, like, torture of terrorists, apart from the IRA, who he loves. He's insanely pro-IRA, and then everybody else, he's like, we gotta, like, you know, waterboard the shit out of these guys.
Yeah, he's a fascinating gentleman.
The brother's really funny. Is that he's like in 2005 when they wouldn't support Iraq, he had to like choose. And so he was like, they wouldn't support the American invasion of Iraq. He was like, finally, I remember this was on TV at the time when I had news class when I was in high school. He like finally hung up his, Irish republicanism.
Sadly throwing a balaclava in the trash.
But Mr. King was at law school with Rudy. And here's a quote from him. I was struck by him being very, very smart and really, really liberal.
He was woke. He had a woke phase.
Yeah. They were interns together at a law firm, rather. And Giuliani was a big Kennedy guy.
This is like a guy who makes Don Draper feel bad in one episode.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. The other thing he said was that that was the summer there were riots in Newark and Detroit, and Rudy was very sympathetic to the rioters, Mr. King said.
That feels like a story that's been planted.
Nothing gold can stay. Like, you can't, like, he doesn't stay this cool.
This is my favorite bit, where he goes, he told me he had gone to a bar and started in on a black guy because he wasn't radical enough. Rudy said the conversation was over. He turned him into a black power guy. Which is,
Rudy is the world's first white Hotep at this age. He's like the world's first white black Israelite.
I think this is a Mad Men character. Like, I think it genuinely is. Like,
well, it's all a bit heavy-handed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is also a guy telling a story trying to make him look bad, I think. Or at least...
Rudy was in, like, Antifa back in the day. He was in like the Kennedy Antifa division, you know?
Yeah, I was out with Rudy one night and he said he had to go home to cut up a trash can to make a shield.
Did you know, by the way, regarding Peter King, I just refreshed myself on some stuff about him. He is an opinion columnist for the Long Island Herald.
Cool. I want to know what his opinions are, except I really don't.
And the other funny thing is his email address is just on there.
Huh.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
That's cool. And then, okay, so he graduates law school. He's working as an intern at a law firm. He then, of course, in 1968, marries his second cousin, Regina Perugi.
Mm.
This does not sound like a love marriage, you know?
Yeah.
Were they trying to consolidate land holdings? Like, what was going on here?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I love the New York Times quote about this was, the wedding and reception was as much a family gathering as a marriage celebration.
When the paper of record is landing incest dunks on you.
I just, like a real backdoor 1997 incest dunk. Like, yeah.
Yeah, how are you like, you know what? I guess you get how you say, like, I'm going to be the boss of that paper.
Mm. Yeah.
They're not going to push me and my beloved cousin around anymore.
That's right. Well, very few people know this, but the New York Times is owned and operated by the mayor of New York. he actually lives in the printing press and he's peddling most of the day. I mean, obviously we'll get to that later in the episode when we're talking about what he did.
Who do you think draws the cartoons?
Who do you think?
You're getting the New Yorker and the New York Times. This is a fundament. Yeah. We need to give you like remedial, like New York City education.
Yeah. I'm about to go on a whole rant about how the New York Times used to have cartoons and now doesn't and won't run them.
I'll be honest. I wasn't confusing the New Yorker and the New York Times. I just thought the New York Times also had a funny page because I only read it digitally.
It never had a funny page. For a while, they were running political cartoons by David Rees that were actually good. Mm-hmm. And they squashed it because he pissed off the editors, I think, by having opinions that were not New York Timesy.
Very, very fragile people over at the New York Times.
And the mayor's office, and which the mayor's of course office, yeah. runs the New York Times.
Obviously.
I just picture them as kind of like in a two fort situation where they're just kind of like staring daggers at each other over a street, you know?
That's right. After he married his cousin, he graduates. He made his way from a law clerk at that firm to a assistant U.S. attorney.
Yeah, and like everybody who talks about him in his time as a federal prosecutor is like, yeah, this guy was like straight laced completely. Like he was like Elliot Ness. He had like a kind of burning, like righteous fury towards the people who had like, I guess, made his dad shadowbox people for a living.
Yeah, like he apparently, yeah, he gained some notoriety. He was like, there was a corrupt congressman named Bertram Podell on the stand.
Oh, they don't make guys named like that anymore.
We actually made it illegal to be named Bertram L. Podell. That's one of the things that he did in office. But he apparently harangued him so bad, like on the stand, that he had to pop out his own glasses lens. And then he requested a recess and pled guilty. Like that's how good Rudy was at.
Yeah.
A sitting congressman like bullied him into like crying and going home.
Going to jail. Like that's so when you like hear people talk about him as being this kind of like moral totem of the like, you know, US Attorney's office, right? That like it's weird, right? Like he's been so many people in his life.
Yeah.
Mm. But also isn't this just the case as well of like you sort of it was very easy to find corrupt congressmen or much at that time.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of both.
Yes.
Like it was sort of universal basic George Santos.
We'll talk about this more with the mob stuff, but it's a combination of like as with a lot of things, I think Rudy was very lucky with timing, right? Like this is also a thing with crime where there's bigger structural things at work, but also he's like there to exploit them and he's quite good at it. You know, like he was a good prosecutor at the same time that the federal government started pursuing like RICO prosecutions of like mobsters.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, if I have like a sort of like central theory of Rudy Giuliani and who he is sort of like a synecdoche of like boomerdom in a lot of ways, of like American boomers in a lot of ways, where he was just put in all these situations where it was like fairly easy to put yourself in a situation where you succeed and then take all the credit for it and then went insane and melted on television.
Yeah, I mean, he's Forrest Gump, you know?
A little bit, yeah, and which like people forget that book was a satire. Of boomers and how they operated. The movie missed that completely for some reason. So after that, he very famously convinced a corrupt NYPD detective to turn federal witness, which was turned into a movie called Prince of the City, which features someone playing a Rudy character, which is interesting.
The ego begins to like creep in, you know?
So this is where he starts to like really... like phase two of Rudy begins where his marriage to his cousin falls apart because he's constantly out partying and reportedly like at this point, according to people close to him, he wants to become famous. Mm. That is what he wants.
I have a question for you right now, right? Which is we know that sometimes New York mayors are party animals, right? Mm. Boss Tweed, party animal. Rudy Giuliani, party animal.
Eric Adams, party animal.
David Dinkins. Not a party animal.
I don't think so. Bloomberg never left his house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Koch was maybe a party animal.
Real like introvert, extrovert divide as mayor of New York City.
Mm.
Yeah, he was the first, what, like, INTP mayor?
I was about to make the same joke.
Yeah, just like de Blasio being like, I'm the first mayor of New York City with like social anxiety, you know?
Yeah, de Blasio, not a party animal, but he loves to be... Now he's in like sort of a, I mean, well, obviously we'll talk about him at some point because we're discussing all mayors, but de Blasio was a real like, oh, I'm just a guy who lives in Park Slope and I love going to the gym every day. And I love to sleep also because I'm a sleepy baby. Mm. He was always late to things because he was sleepy, but he now is in like a divorced dad phase where he's like intentionally appearing out at bars, making out with women because his famous open relationship.
But so Rudy was doing this shit without like in the open relationship of its day, which was cheating on your wife. Right.
That's right.
Like, And like, it's crazy how you're not allowed to do that anymore. They kick you off of the fucking like BuzzFeed Try Guys for this. But like Rudy, like clearly he's out getting photographed.
Rudy could never be a Try
Guy.
Yeah,
with like, you know, like arms around models and shit. And like, you know, obviously this is pissing off his like cousin wife, but no one cares, you know? My cousin wife, who looks exactly like me, is just sitting at home staring into like an oven with a sort of like lamb roast like burning and turning into charcoal, you know?
Yeah. The man of God has burned.
What an incredibly awkward family reunion that would be if you piss off your cousin wife. You know, like, you're mad on the way, you're mad there, you're mad leaving.
We can kind of understand a lot of Rudy's subsequent derangement by the fact that he's like been pursued, I guess, by an Italian-American extended family group whose cousin wife he has betrayed, right? That's wrong.
Yeah. You have betrayed the cousin wife, our number one law.
My name is Rudy Giuliani. Cousin to a betrayed wife.
Wife? Husband to a cousined wife?
Like pricking my finger and letting the blood drip onto a burning card of like a woman who looks exactly like me.
Just a burning family photo.
It's onto the t-shirt that they give out at the reunion. That says a Jillian Giuliani's, you know. The Jillian Giuliani Jamboree t-shirt. Fuck me. Okay.
This was such a good idea.
This is the best podcast ever recorded.
Yeah, quite possibly.
So anyways, he then becomes like essentially the number three attorney in the U.S. He's the associate attorney general, which means he's like in charge of all the prosecutors under this once guy who was so liberal. He was converting black guys into being black power guys, according to some colleagues. This guy is now working for Ronald Reagan, famously very conservative president of America. Never the mayor, though, so we're not going to talk about him.
It's true. Just like one guy who was like made woke by Rudy, by like a conversation with Rudy in like 1968, just being like, he's lost it.
He's lost it.
What if he's like, no, I've lost my faith now.
That's not the Rudy I knew, who taught me that racism was bad.
Yeah, Rudy stopped coming to the New Africa with a K bookstore.
Yeah, he was doing slam poetry for many years. And then he got this promotion at work and God. It's a whole thing now.
He gave back his Pharaoh hat.
He was the first white guy they led in the Nation of Islam.
Oh, my Lord.
Just Rudy turning up to work with a fez and a bow tie on.
Yeah, I just got the idea that the guy he claims to have radicalized, just seeing Rudy on TV working for Ronald Reagan and being like, just completely losing faith in the movement. Like, no, it was all a lie.
Under Reagan, he's doing a lot less like flashy stuff. One of the big cases he worked on, and I was like trying to wrap my head around it, was that he had sent a bunch of boats back that had Haitian refugees on them, and he sent them back to Haiti. And this is when Baby Doc was in power there. And he said, I think in court, quote, political repression, at least in general, does not exist in Haiti under Baby Doc. And I'm like, I don't know enough about that era of Haitian history.
I think it did. I feel like it did. But I mean, you know, Rudy at this point, he still obviously understands that it's like Western chauvinism to like judge a kind of like impoverished nation by like Western standards, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was doing Reaganism from the left, you know?
Yeah, that's got me feeling like the leftist Ronald Reagan.
When you think about it, air traffic controllers are a kind of aristocracy of labor.
It's very bourgeois to tell the planes where to go.
This is my new anarchist air traffic control system.
Yeah, we operate the planes by consent.
You claim not to want nationalization of public services, but when the military, which is a public service, does air traffic control, all of a sudden everybody loses their minds.
And also their lives when the planes crash into each other.
Do you want the 9/11 drop that I have?
Not yet. So he then goes back to New York City to become the U.S. attorney there, which is deemed kind of a demotion.
Yeah, but it's also like it's the most glory hound job. Like U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York is like
flashy.
You do all of the shit because like everything washes up in like the Southern District of New York, right?
Yeah, it's Paul Giamatti on Billions. It's like it is a big fucking deal because then you get to prosecute basically anything that happens on Wall Street, anything that happens in New York City,
anything that happens internationally tends to end up there. Too. Like it's
It's huge.
Yeah, like, and if you asked me, like, do you want to be the Paul Giamatti of your career? Obvious, of course, yeah, come on.
Yeah, you want to get pissed on.
Yeah.
You want to be the Paul Giamatti in sideways of your career?
Getting pissed on, drinking wine, like looking weirdly hot despite like not having my shit together ostensibly. Yeah, of course.
That's true. He's got a mech suit very briefly in one movie.
I'm doing 3 out of those things already.
You're doing so good, baby, and we're all proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
So he goes back to New York in 1983, and this is when the big shit begins to happen.
RICO prosecutions, the Racketeer Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act.
Yes. So this is already, so we're talking about the sort of boomerism of it all. So this was something that was already going when he showed up, but he then becomes like the face of what is called later the Mafia Commission trial, which wipes out the five families almost entirely.
Yeah, I mean, this comes at the end of like a sort of a mob civil war when the mob was like already pretty divided and weak.
Yeah, right? guys are dying during the trial. Like bosses are getting murdered in the streets during this period.
You're left with like guys like John Gotti Jr. or whatever. And like,
yeah,
it's also something that like the FBI had been like, you know, as you say, investigating and been like sort of like planning this for a while. It was all like, it was all timely. And while he did do like a good job sort of breaking the mob in New York City, it being the kind of like U.S. attorney for this is sort of like, I don't want to call it a figurehead because it's not, but it's like you're very well poised to like exploit this for publicity, you know?
Yeah, it's so easy for you to be like, I broke the mob in New York, where it was like this massive effort for years, including before you were, when you were a U.S. attorney, they were doing it. Like
You're the guy at the podium saying like, you know, this guy like controls the like cement cartel in New York City or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now like the Italian mob in New York is basically dead, right? Like it never really came back full strength. There's Albanians in my neighborhood that kind of, that run a racket, which is fun, but it's much smaller.
And fully autochthonous.
That's what I'm always saying to them when I see them in the street. And I'm high-fiving them.
Just like bumping Dua Lipa.
Nice autochthony, I say. And they say, thank you. I don't know about that one.
And they say thank you, of course.
And they say thank you.
We were doing a Trash Future live show on the South Bank on what we didn't realize was Albanian Independence Day. And so as we were going in, I was like, why are there 5 million cops? Right. And then as we round the corner, I'm like, oh, this is why, because there are like people doing like sick donuts and BMWs waving like 4 Albanian flags out of the sun.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa song after Dua Lipa song after Dua Lipa song.
Yeah, we respect that. They're all listening to boys doing donuts. But the Albanian flag, cool flag.
True.
But a little threatening when you see it real big.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a fantasy coat of arms ass, like evil king.
Yeah, this is like evil country. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, no, it's like, I don't know. They seem fine.
Totally normal country. Like,
yeah. Albania, normal country, stance of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Autochthonous.
We've only ever made the positive claim of normal country, but one country so far. And we will not be making that claim again.
I bet all of Albania's mayors are normal. If you are Albanian and you have an abnormal mayor, write in.
Well, or think really hard.
Or think really hard, yeah.
And we'll find you in the mayor space.
But he breaks the mob, sort of.
Yeah. He breaks the mob, which is, there's another big high profile insider trading things with Ivan Boesky. There he covers the bribery trial of a former Bronx Democratic leader, Stanley Friedman.
Ivan Boesky was one of like the highest profile examples of people learning about Gulf jail. Because this was such a high profile insider trading trial.
This is when Club Fed was invented, kind of.
Yeah, basically. Boesky went to jail in California in a facility that had like a golf course, a tennis court. He went to like typical America, right? It's like, they're so lavish. We didn't even ask Pablo Escobar to build his own luxury jail. They just had it for him.
Yeah. but these are all like huge things, all centered around corruption and graft and stuff, right? During this time, though, he's accused often of throwing very showboaty press conferences and only taking on cases that would make him personally more famous.
Mm.
So at this point, the ego is like really, really enormous.
He's also still in like gossip pages at this point, right? Like he's still like fucking around. He's still being like photographed at like nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah. And like very rarely, I will say as a New York City resident, a long time, very rarely are you seeing lawyers in the gossip pages.
Mm.
It's not like super common.
Well, they're often too busy.
They're often too busy.
They're working those long hours.
That's right. But so anyways, he decides to run for mayor at this point in 1989.
Which is interesting because like clearly he intends it as the first step on like becoming president, right?
Yeah.
But being mayor of New York City is, I guess, not as famously at this point, but still like one of the most like dead end jobs in American politics, because you like you have a lot of power and influence and stuff, but you can't really go anywhere with it.
Yeah, it's an insanely dead end job. Like no one ever does anything afterwards. And you know, it's the thing where being mayor of New York is very flashy because it's the biggest city in the world's number one most awesome kick-ass country that everyone loves so much.
It's the biggest city in the world. Don't fact check this.
It's the biggest city in the world. It's so important.
It's the city in the world.
It's da Big Apple, baby. Mm. You know, famously.
Prestige.
I'm walking here is what he's doing. But like, you know, it's a hugely prestigious thing, but this is sort of like the central frisson of being the mayor is that being the mayor is mostly about like, oh, a stop sign fell over and I have to fix it. Like it is a thing where you know, you can be a high profile politician in a lot of places and not be concerned at all with governance. You kind of can't do that if you're the mayor. Because the city has to work, you know, on some level, like you got to do stuff. So like by the time you're done being mayor, everyone's so mad at you because you're in charge of the stop signs.
There's like 50 different scandals because you're responsible for like 800 different public agencies that are all committing like massive misconduct at any one time. And your entire career can get like destroyed by one of these landmines where it's like, oh, there's like scandal in like an office you didn't know existed. You're just like... You know, the bribery scandal in the sheriff's office brings you down and you're like, we have a sheriff's office?
Yeah. And they're there to kick people out when they're they don't pay their rent, which is normal. Yeah.
They got a SWAT team as well.
They should at least give them cowboy hats if they're going to call them the sheriff.
For real, yeah.
That's my only opinion about them. I love them otherwise and I think they should exist.
Just police abolition, no sheriff abolition. We got to keep those guys.
I didn't say sheriff abolition. I said police abolition. Sheriffs stay and they get cowboy hats and chaps and they have to ride horses and they wear ponchos and they operate on the west side only because thematically.
Yeah.
You understand.
Of course, the Wild Wild West.
Side of Manhattan.
Yeah, of course. It's like now I'm a one of these Murray Hill cowboys.
Yeah, this is my other show that I'm pitching.
Murray Hill Cowboys? It sounds like it could be a real show.
Yeah.
I've been thinking for a while, there is something to be written about the New York City Sheriff's Office, right? But
Like where's like Law and Order, Sheriff Intent?
Yeah.
Is it about a guy running to become sheriff?
I don't know.
I have the intention to be a sheriff.
You know, there's a sheriff's office. I don't know if there is a sheriff.
There is, but it's like appointed like kind of pro forma by the mayor. And it's just like a kind of crony thing. It's like, hey, you want to be sheriff of New York City?
It must be so good to be a mayor's crony in New York. There's just so many places to put you.
Of all the places to be a mayoral crony, New York City, like you're eating so well, you probably a sheriff of it. Like, and then you look at the like list of sheriffs and it's like bunch of Dutch guys and then like bunch of like sort of goons of various persuasions. And then as the crony, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah. So... Giuliani runs for mayor in 89. He is met in the Republican primary by Ronald Lauder of Este.
Oh, shit. So doing the kind of Gavin Newsom thing of being like, we got this insanely rich freak.
Yeah, and he's the son of Este and Joseph Lauder. He accused Giuliani in the debates that he was not a true Republican because of his liberal, and as we know, Hotep past.
Just like this, like the most moisturized man in America being like, you taught a guy to like be anti-racist one time at college.
Yeah, and Giuliani took one look at this very wet man and he said, one day that'll be me. I'll become wet.
It's all been kind of aspirational moisturizing since then.
Yeah.
That's
right. I didn't know that you could put retinol in your hair and that's how you could deploy it safely from the sun, but there we go.
We're all learning a lot. At the same time, David Dinkins, the Manhattan Borough President, which, quick aside about the Borough President, if you've ever heard anyone talk about a Borough President in New York City, that job is nothing. You don't do anything. It is, it's like you are, you, they give you the big scissors and you go cut the big ribbons for buildings. And that's it.
Former Borough President, Eric Adams.
Currently, yeah. We'll never talk about him.
Mm. Do you think that when he was Borough President, he was doing all of the Eric Adams shit on a smaller scale and being like, Manhattan is the Zagreb of America?
I know for a fact he was doing some very insane shit that we'll never talk about because we'll never cover him.
Mm. No, of course.
Yeah.
That would require some kind of a live show of No Gods, No Mayors to do.
That'd be crazy.
Come on. We're already talking shirts. Let's not get so ahead of ourselves.
I mean, I'm thinking about a mayoral run to, as a bit.
There's always room for Jello.
Yeah, you're just, everything you do as mayor, you just have to do like air quotes around or the jerk off motion. It's like, I'm not really doing this.
It's like you're trying to cut the like ribbon with the scissors with one hand. You're making the jerk off motion with the other. It's getting really like complicated.
Anyways, Dinkins beats the current mayor, Ed Koch, and then beats for the Democratic nomination, then beats Giuliani by a kind of a narrow margin. The closest election in New York City's history for a general.
Yeah, they're not really supposed to be competitive, right?
Yeah, because there's like no registered Republicans in the city outside of like deep parts of Brooklyn and Queens and Staten Island. Like the more suburban the city, like unlike a lot of other cities that tend to like sprawl out forever and like the borders are kind of porous and they're always adding parts around it. You know, New York's like on a series of islands, so it's kind of like hemmed in.
Mm.
But the more part, there are some parts of the city that are a little more suburban, the parts that are like further out on Long Island or Staten Island itself, which is basically New Jersey and is just the suburbs. These places tend to have more registered Republicans. But yeah, it's like not generally the way you become mayor in New York. So he loses to Dinkins. Then he runs again in 1993. So, and he runs on this like really heavy law and order platform, you know.
Classic Giuliani stuff.
It's like the Warriors out there. If, and like, I remember that like the sort of reputation of New York City outside New York City at this time was like, if you go to New York City, you will be killed instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You will be shot 60 times and like robbed before you hit the ground kind of thing.
Yeah. And every, I mean, this happened to me every time I went and visited my grandparents in the Bronx and in Queens is I would be killed, which is why I've died so many times. It was admittedly more dangerous. There was like a lot of bad crime problems at the time, but there was a lot of bad crime everywhere. This is like all downstream of Reagan and Reaganism and the policies. Like,
as far as I remember, crime in like everywhere peaked in the 80s, right?
And
like,
yes, very much so.
The shit that everyone was really neurotic about, like Bernard Goetz or whatever, like that was sort of like mid 80s. And then what you had was this like slow decline that didn't feel like one because fear of crime and crime are totally uncoupled from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're kind of going through the same thing now where crime is like really down after a bit of a spike during lockdown and everyone's still like, New York's really dangerous right now and it's not.
Whenever we talk about any mayor of London, this is going to be something that we're going to have to talk about again, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. It's popular to say that it's like, oh yeah, it was Reaganism and also like the removal of lead from petrol.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make like Freakonomics argument that it was like abortion provision, like an absolute like racist, you can do that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that is like very opaque. There are a lot of like factors involved and there's not really simple answers, right? Like, unless you're Rudy Giuliani, in which case you say, there is a simple answer, which is elect me and I will like ban crime. Crime will be illegal.
I will do what needs to be done. And then he winked at everyone in New York and they knew what he meant.
Yeah. And all the white people voted for him. And he became the first Republican elected mayor of New York since John Lindsay, which is in the 60s. Oh, on election day, he famously hired a bunch of off-duty cops and firefighters and COs to go like threaten people at polling places and wink Brooklyn and the Bronx. Wink.
I mean, I will also say that like off-duty NYPD officers like rioted against David Dinkins, right? In like 1992.
Yeah. An important thing for any other mayor that is not Rudy Giuliani is that the NYPD will hate you no matter what you do, no matter how much you appeal to them, no matter how much you like introduce sops to them. Like if you are...
Even if you were a cop.
Even if you were a cop. Yeah. Nothing's enough because they always want more. Giuliani, they seem to do okay with because he let them do whatever they want.
It's like Giuliani love bombed the cops, and then they were in a codependent relationship.
Kind of. I mean, there was clearly some kind of like stitch up somewhere. Right? Like, also another thing, another reason why you can suggest that crime in New York City was starting to come down is that Dinkins vastly increased the NYPD's funding, for which they hated him and rioted against him.
That's right. And in terms of the cops loving Giuliani, I want to amend that, where Ray Kelly, the police commissioner, did not get along with him, which we'll get to. But Giuliani wins by basically the same margin he lost by in the previous election.
Just in time for the end of history, you know?
Just in time for the end of history. So now he is finally the mayor of New York City. We've arrived to the mayorship.
Unfortunately, you have to like govern New York City now.
Yeah, now you're in charge of New York.
The destiny that was laid out for him when he was born. When he no longer a baby, finally a mayor.
Yeah. Not the, I said the name of the police commissioner was Ray Kelly. I meant it was Bill Bratton.
Yeah, Bill Bratton. He was like sort of Giuliani's guy in the NYPD. And Bill Bratton, again, fascinating figure, needs like a really good biography. He was like police commissioner in New York and Los Angeles, did terrible, terrible things in both. And there was this kind of like over the course of Giuliani's mayoralty, there was this kind of like simmering, increasing tension between both of their egos. My favorite detail about this is when Bratton was finally forced out, he resigned. He was pushed into resigning by Giuliani.
Basically for appearing on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah. And there was a bit where the mayor's office took control of the NYPD's public information office personally because they thought it was too Bratton friendly.
Oh my God.
My favorite detail about this from the New York Times reporting is that when Bratton resigned, he had a 4-page resignation letter, which is just so perfect. It was just like listing his achievements and just like, and by the way, fuck you, I quit.
Mm. Yeah.
I love a resignation letter that contains 19 uses of the words and furthermore.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, senior cops and particularly senior NYPD officers are some of the most, like, ego-ridden, pathetic, whiny freaks in the world, right?
I mean, imagine being told you're allowed to do whatever you want 24 hours a day for, like, 40 years. How would you act, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like basically you gave a very rich celebrity a gun.
Well, I probably just have a lot more wine, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why you're not a cop.
Mm.
So Bill Bratton, before he was forced out by Rudy and their egos clashing, introduced cop stat, which is a very famous thing. I can't remember, you know, it's if you've ever watched The Wire, there's a lot of comp stat talk.
Yeah, it's predictive policing, right? Like algorithmic policing.
Yeah, and this is like part of the big, to delve back into the Freakonomics of it all. This is the big broken windows thing that they did. He added a bunch of police officers who then, of course, started murdering people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There were two very high profile murders, Amadou Diallo and Patrick Dorismond, who Dorismond was murdered by cops after he refused to buy drugs from an NYPD officer undercover.
How dare you refuse my kind offer?
Yeah. And then he was murdered by them.
We were going to do MDMA together.
And then Giuliani personally, his office released Dorismond's juvenile crime record to justify this guy getting murdered for not buying drugs. So this is like, we've entered sort of like the monstrous Giuliani period.
Punished Giuliani.
I mean, also, if you look at like kind of police misconduct, there's a spectrum, right? Where it's all the way up to murder, right? At the low end, one of the things that CompStat's responsible for is you train a generation of cops that the way they advance their careers is by like tampering with the numbers.
Yeah.
This is the thing that Adrian Schoolcraft, the NYPD whistleblower, was like whistleblowing on in 2006, was like precinct captains being like, you have to make this many stops. Doesn't matter if they're like completely spurious, because the numbers are going to go into CompStat and I need that number for my career.
Yeah. They also, the NYPD tortured another prisoner named Abner Lima. The NYPD harassment at the time was apparently so bad that Giuliani.
Giuliani's
own deputy mayor, Rudy Washington, who is black, reported being harassed by the police while being the deputy mayor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that also I remember. That, like, this is another mayor. I don't want to bring in too many mayors here.
Don't you do it.
You know, Bristol, the city of Bristol in England.
Oh, is this where Avon and Somerset police tasered their own like
race relations guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is fine form for that, I think.
A weird, he was in the middle of like advocating for privatizing the schools and switching to a voucher program, but never went anywhere. So he's like fully like, he's just evil at this point. Like something is cracked in his brain. And
yeah, but he went on Saturday Night Live a bunch of times to make fun of himself. Yeah. That's where you get the Doppler shifted mind shaft.
Freaking Giuliani!
From.
I look, he has the funniest like SNL fandom wiki I've ever seen, which is just, it's like, it's, you go on snl.fandom.com/wiki/Rudy_Giuliani. It's just his biography. That's all. Doesn't list any of the sketches he was in.
Just in case you wanted to know who Rudy Giuliani was, but without leaving the Saturday Night Live wiki.
I loved that episode of SNL. But what was Giuliani up to in 2002? Well, he founded a security consulting business. Yeah. Who is he?
It's like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, like,
was he promoting a new movie?
It's like, it means that like the SNL wiki contains the sentence: in an effort to reform the police department's administration and policing practices, they applied the broken windows theory, which states that social disorder such as disrepair and vandalism attracts loitering addicts, panhandlers, prostitutes, and criminals. Accordingly, Giuliani removed panhandlers and sex clubs from Times Square. In the SNL wiki,
live from New York, it's Urban Clearance.
My God.
Like, and I mean, Times Square as well, that's a whole other thing, because like, Times Square used to be filthy. Brackets positive.
Yeah, it was like porno theaters and...
Yeah, if you've read Times Square Red, Times Square Blue, like, a lot of porno theaters and like, things of this nature. It also like, inadvertently led to like, the birth of the Wu-Tang Clan. Because like a bunch of these like cheap theaters didn't only show porno, they also showed like just whatever was like would get people in for cheap, which was often like cheap kung fu movies. And so like a bunch of like poor, mostly black kids would used to like go and see like kung fu movies. And that's where like the Wu-Tang Clan and a bunch of other stuff like that comes from.
So I have a brief personal story about Times Square.
Mm.
One of my personally favorite places to go, you know, my secret New York tip, check out Times Square and the, what is it? The Kenny Loggins, I Love This Bar and Grill on Times Square.
I believe it is Brad Paisley.
Yeah. They had a Guy Fieri thing there at one point.
I went there and I got a hamburger with macaroni and cheese on it.
Delicious. It's
pretty good.
As a child growing up in Canada.
As a former child.
I was sort of, hey, maybe future mayor. we did like a field trip with school to New York. And I felt as I went to like New York pretty often with my parents, I was like, I know my way around New York. I don't need to stay within the known areas. I want to go slide over to Dean and DeLuca and, you know, pick up a sandwich. And I remember the teacher, I was in high school. The teacher was like, oh, Riley, the pimps of Times Square would make short work of you if you leave the...
In what sense? Would you be pimped? Would you just be like shot in like a pimping related altercation? Like what?
Well, basically, he just said that I wasn't allowed to go meet like my family friends who live in New York. Because
Riley was killed as a child when a pimp cracked him over the head with a cane.
I was drowned in a giant goblet full of
He was hit by a car with chandeliers for headlights.
But so Times Square now, thanks to Rudy and thanks to the NYPD and the Disney Corporation.
And the Disney Corp... When I was a child, this happened when I was really young, people would talk about like the Disneyfication of Times Square. I did not realize it was literally the Disney Corporation behind it.
It's sort of like Leicester Square in London, where it's like sort of a corporate force field has been deployed around this area. Yeah. And it's just like it's too clean. It's also a weird attempt to make it into a, like a landmark as well. Yeah. Like just having a bunch of like flashing advertising signs. There's a bit in. Did you ever play The Division, the Tom Clancy MMO? One of the missions there, because it's set in like New York City after it's been like destroyed by a pandemic. One of the things that you do to like restore hope to a sort of like, you know, battered and terrified New York City is to turn the power back on to Times Square so that you can see all the ads, you know, for Verizon.
Oh my
or whatever.
God. I mean, literally, like legally, if you have a Times Square business, it has to have neon signs. Mm. And this summer, when we were hit with a horrible heat wave, I imagine for the last summer, ever horrible rising temperatures.
Mm-hmm. Wow, glad
I'm
that's
so
done.
Glad it's almost over.
Dusting hands.
We were getting all these messages from Con Ed, the power provider, like, hey, maybe don't run your air conditioner during the day. And I'm like, it's 98 degrees outside, and you won't turn Times Square off at night. Maybe the big Verizon ad should go off first before you start killing me. I don't know. Just a thought.
Okay, but how are you going to know where to get your best deal on minutes?
Mm. Mm.
That's a good point.
You know, what if you need a good deal on minutes?
About minutes? So Giuliani's doing all this evil shit, but he also, strangely, instituted domestic partnerships in New York City. You know, decades before gay marriage was legalized.
This is the thing about mayoralty, right? Is that you get, because you're Napoleon, because you're this like insane tyrant who has to be in charge of like bin collection and stuff, you kind of get a free pass on like one good thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
Well, you can just do, it's that's the thing, is you can just like, you're not bound by ideology any more than you want.
Yeah, like he convinced the Democratic-controlled city council to pass protections for same-sex couples. He basically invented the concept of a sanctuary city for New York.
Huh. This is the guy who was turning around, like, boat people.
Yeah. Well, there was no problems there, so it was fine to send them back.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was run by a baby.
Just sanctuary city for everywhere except Haiti, you know?
That's right. I mean, you know, I just think it's, yeah, it's this very deeply strange thing. He's, yeah, again, like you mentioned, he's on SNL all the time. He hosted in office.
Freaking Giuliani!
He hosted twice. He also used to go on Letterman.
Musical guest Rudy Giuliani.
Musical guest.
Singing his song, Friggin' yeah. Giuliani.
Paul Schaefer plays four bars of My Metro Card.
Yeah.
I've had it stuck in my head all day.
Yeah, Sam. I hate Giuliani. He's such a fucking jerk.
I have the drop.
Let's hear it.
Enjoy having it stuck in your head for the rest of the week.
Correct. La Tigra, correct. Mm. On this and also many things, and also Fat Mike from NoFX. So nice. my favorite, he's like any mayor, he had some weird sort of obsessions. One of his things was,
putting the like New York City like emergency preparedness office in like a building.
Yeah, that's right.
A location. Uh-huh. There was a lot of press about like the mayor's like new boondoggle, this like massive emergency bunker, which is going to be like really centrally located in Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
There's never going to be an emergency in central Manhattan, firstly.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there is, it's right there.
It's right there.
Lower Manhattan, I don't know. I can't guarantee.
He was very obsessed with being famous. So he had a show on the radio, live from City Hall with Rudy Giuliani.
He went on SNL and then was like, I'm going to do SNL, but that's for right. me.
He would have loved podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, so there is now, there is a segment on the local public radio station now called Ask the Mayor every Friday, where like the mayor does get on and answer questions from people, but that's like an hour. He had like his own, it was like, you know, like 10 minutes of an hour. Like, but now he has his own show.
He was doing like Fidel Castro like length speeches, except he was just doing bits. Yeah, well,
kind of. So the city council banned ferrets as pets in New York, and someone called in asking about the ferrets, and he went on a rant that I'm going to read in full. There's something deranged about you. The excessive concern you have for ferrets is something you should examine with a therapist. There's something really, really very sad about you. This excessive concern with little weasels is a sickness. You should go consult a psychologist. Your compulsion about your excessive concern with it is a sign that there is something wrong in your personality. You have a sickness, and I know it's hard for you to accept that. You need help.
First of all, this is a beautiful example of the same kind of New York English that Trump speaks.
Yeah.
Like, decreasingly, now he's getting older and weirder, but like, the little weasels, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the references to going to a therapist, you know, the sad.
Like, middle or upper class New Yorker being mad at you refers you to three specialists, you know?
I know your next question was, what did the editors of Modern Ferret magazine say to this?
I mean, this was an attack, a full-throated attack on their lifestyle, you know? Like, gays in, ferret lovers out.
That's right. They said that Mayor Giuliani compared legalizing ferrets to legalizing tigers. a council member referred to us as evil ferret lovers.
This is the thing. You get, like, a free pass. You can be like, you know, gay rights, no ferret rights.
Look, it's one civil right is in, one civil right is out.
Yeah, and you just pick the one that matters least, which is the ferret guys. I mean, this is the thing, right? Because you're not beholden to a party, especially as a Republican in New York City, right?
Yeah, there's no machine holding you in.
No, no, there's not even like a kind of like bureaucracy around you that can restrain you. Like your biggest enemy is the NYPD and you still kind of have levers on them, you know?
Yeah.
In this case, it's just you can do whatever you want with that power. And like, you know, much like sort of annexing Serbia into the Austro-Hungarian Empire, you can just also just go fly off the handle and be like ferrets, bam.
Yeah. I found in Modern Ferret Magazine, the testimony they gave at the city hall.
None of these classical ferrets.
Yeah. I was just scrolling through like the testimony that they gave at the city council meeting, and then they just keep going over and over like, okay, rabies is a problem with all animals. All animals, including humans, are capable of biting.
We should make humans. That's such an ineffective argument from the ferret people to be like, well, the same as humans. Ferrets are in many ways human.
Domesticated species such as the ferret do not exist in the wild. Their proper habitat is in people's homes. Ferrets live in apartment buildings in cities throughout the world, such as Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Miami, Baltimore, London, and Tokyo.
Wait, they just listed cities?
They should give the ferrets their civil rights back.
Real life experience tells us that ferrets going through walls is simply not a major concern.
Was that a thing the city council was like, ferrets are going to tunnel into other people's apartments and give them rabies?
Yeah, I think, so going through the testimony, it seems like their big concerns are here. Going through into people's apartments, opening childproof containers that dangerous chemicals come in, rabies.
Just a kind of chemical weapon attack perpetrated by a bored
I think they
ferret.
Saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit and they got really worried about weasels and ferrets.
Dude, we broke the mob once. We can't do it again.
That one was wearing a mobster hat. He was chewing a cigar. Another of his weird little things is that he loved to appear in drag.
Go off. Like I've seen Rudy in drag, and honestly, like, not bad.
He looks like his own beautiful cousin a little bit.
It's like, you didn't want to stay married to this?
Did you ever see him and the cousin in the same room at the same time?
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the wedding would have been difficult.
It's why the second wedding is valid, because the first one, he was just marrying himself in drag.
Sorry, I love that. Do you take this woman who's in the bathroom right now to take
sprints
your
sprints around the back of the altar really fast and quick changes into the dress?
Come on. Surely what it would be is he would be like, I do, but I gotta go to the bathroom myself.
He comes down the aisle wearing like 45 pounds of clothes because he's got all the quick changes under there and wonders
if he can play back and forth. It's like Photoshop-less. Or it's straight down the middle, like Two-Face. Oh. Like one side, like bouquet, veil, other side, bow tie. He's got like half of a bow tie. It's just a triangle. Oh my
God. But he loved to appear and drag. There's a thing called the Inner Circle, which is basically like the White House Correspondents' Dinner for the New York Press.
The White House Junior.
So this is a fun and relatable thing I can do for the press is show up in drag. Yeah. Could transition have saved her? What if woman was one of the things it was permissible for an Italian-American to be?
Yeah.
It's like, look, after the commission trial, they weren't doing any more made men, but you could become a woman.
You become your own Gumar.
The mob trying to assassinate him, but he keeps going out in drag and they don't want to look gay by assassinating
him. Apparently, after 9/11, which, spoiler alert, happens soon, Giuliani appeared in drag on the show Queer as Folk to raise money for gays and lesbians affected by 9/11, saying, quote, if it means more money for relief funds, sure. However, the appearance never took place. If it means more money...
He really is a drag queen. Never do charity. Just don't show up. That will be $500 minimum.
Also, if it means more money for relief funds, sure, is like me talking about like, well, it will make a good Halloween costume. So I'll get that outfit.
Rudy, there's still time.
There's still time, Rudy, if you're listening, and we know you are.
And we know you look good in that wig. Yeah. Like, come on.
He got accused of some major...
Mobbed by Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. Gigapassoid Rudy Giuliani.
Does Rudy Giuliani have passing privilege? The longest thread in the history of forums.
Oh my God,
Which forum was that? A New York forum or like a trans forum?
Both.
It was the forums of the World Trans Forum.
Hmm.
He was accused of getting a bunch of illicit gifts from the Yankees, for including a bunch of like championship rings and tickets.
That's not corruption because it's corporate, not corruption. You know?
Well, the thing about the Yankees is their park is public land and their rent is insanely cheap. And it was clear that he was getting some kickbacks in the form of tickets.
That's another like New York guy thing to love, though, is like wearing a championship ring.
Mm.
It's like, Howie mode.
A New York guy fucking loves it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's like it's all just different kinds of Howie.
I think Pound for Pound, Uncut Gems might be the film that's had the most influence on all of our psyches in terms of like New York.
It is
City.
To me a really good sort of like New York text for a certain kind of Manhattan specific guy.
Mm.
It's actually kind of a useful sort of locus for understanding a man like that. He once claimed that other states should accept New York City's trash for free as payment for exchange of they get to go to our cool museums, which this is Chad shit.
So it's like, hang on. If you're in Idaho, and you get like four dump trucks of like slices and, you know, I Heart NY t-shirts that are misprints or whatever. Like, I don't know, like I Heart MY or whatever. And then you get, they dump that on your lawn and then they come out and they hand you one shiny Empire State Building 50% off ticket.
Perfect. I think, honestly, big fuck to the United States of America. They should be taking our trash. They should be eating it and thanking us for the privilege. New York City, number one, baby. Go Knicks!
This is around the same time that, like, SimCity 3000 was coming out, and I was playing the absolute fuck out of that, and I was just, like, relating to Rudy Giuliani because I was like, oh boy, bar just filled with trash. This is a real problem. I got to get this off the map somehow.
Yeah, so, and just real quick so we don't forget that he's still evil. There was once the biggest gathering ever of world leaders for a UN thing, and he booted Yasser Arafat out of it. He was real tight with a bunch of like very conservative Brooklyn rabbis, and I imagine that is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it's not just that he thought that like the PA was insufficiently
radical. I don't think, maybe like 1968 Giuliani thought that.
I'm triangulating, right? I'm like, on the one hand, I'm sort of like saving Yasser Arafat from having to compromise with bourgeois Western institutions. On the other, I'm taking a bunch of Hasid's to Yankees games.
Oh my God. And you know, the other, just like the general Giuliani thing, was that he basically disappeared all the homeless.
Yeah, this is the like, it's the Simpsons thing about the like homeless guy turning into a mailbox, right? Like
almost exactly. I mean, my dad was at this point working in Manhattan every day, and he told me that like essentially overnight, all the homeless people he would see disappeared overnight. Mm. Like,
which is not the kind of thing that happens when you're just like, you know, increasing public services or whatever, or housing. That's
the only shit he ever did really is that. He would only ever build a shelter to piss somebody off, which he did once.
Yeah, and then when shelters wouldn't, like, play, but didn't his deputy mayor show up at a homeless shelter with, like, 600 cops and a helicopter one time? Because one of the shelter staff was like, hey, do you have a warrant? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It just, I love the NYPD.
He shut down a community center in Brooklyn and opened up a homeless shelter to fuck up the city council men of the district because he hated them.
And like the main tool for like ending like the homeless presence was mass incarceration. Yes. Right? Like all of these people just went to Rikers.
Yeah, like he, like the whole thing is like the city got cleaned up because like they sucked all the cultural juice out of it and sent everybody to jail or on buses out of town, which is why like culturally at the time, he was not very popular amongst like artists and shit ever. Hence.
Yeah, it's why La Tigre didn't
like
him. That's
right. That's the only reason that La Tigre didn't like him. So, you know, his mayorship was a land of contrasts, but he was, at the end of his mayorship, still massively popular, basically amongst racists and the, like a low information voter. It's like, well, the city's cleaner now, you know, after living through like the going bankrupt years.
Mm.
You know, and his second term was set to end in 2001, and he decides that at the end of it, a New York Senator, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, was retiring. So he goes to run for Senate against a woman named, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
It says here that she was the wife of the president. I don't know. I'm not familiar. with her game.
Happy birthday to this future president. That's the most, like, Rudy versus Hillary, the most future president election, and neither of them got it, which is beautiful to
me. But he was running for Senate against Hillary, and he had this is an incredible, on the Wikipedia page for the 2000 Senate election in New York, there's a heading just called Giuliani's Tumultuous 4 Weeks.
Rudy's terrible, horrible, very bad, no good 4 weeks.
Over a course of like a month, he basically broke up with his wife, Donna Hanover, who was taking over a role in the vagina monologues.
Yeah, she was getting kind of turfy. The drag stuff was really bothering her, you know.
Like. He got prostate cancer.
Oof.
He broke up with his wife.
You know what's a good way to treat prostate cancer is to start taking anti-androgens.
By the way, just to the listeners, if you want to simulate being friends with November, just take what she said about Rudy Giuliani and apply it to yourself.
I have told you to transition like every conversation we've had in the last month, I think.
Okay, I mean, here's the thing, is that basically we started the podcast, me and November, with Riley to get him to transition.
Yeah, that's the kind of like B plot.
Yeah, it's just two trans women just applying pressure, like turning you into a beautiful diamond.
Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to be late for work today. And she's like, I'm going to try estradiol.
is that your me? Is that your me voice?
My new fellow.
Yeah, it's a kind of cunty Alan Partridge.
I thought it was a little gallbloom.
Lynn, have you tried estradiol?
Darling, have you tried estradiol?
The 93 is fantastic.
So anyways, Giuliani's had this horrible month where he breaks up with his wife and gets prostate cancer. And then
instantly and causatively, because she was a powerful witch. Yeah. Just like, dump me, will you? Explodes your prostate.
He gives like a deranged press conference about his divorce.
And that was the last one he ever gave. Yeah. He never gave another deranged press conference. Yeah.
That's right. And then he drops out of the race. And, you know, things are looking bad for Rudy at this point. And he's looking down the barrel of a very long, long post-mayoralty.
You can like write your book. Yeah, or something,
maybe
you know?
He was thinking about, I don't know, who to vote for in the next mayoral primary. That day in his personal planner, of course. A Tuesday coming up soon. A crisp fall Tuesday. A Tuesday that people said for years afterwards had an almost impossibly blue sky. Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. Thanks for listening to No Gods, No Mayors. If you want to hear more about our friend and yours, Rudy Jules, episode 2, part 2, Rudy Giuliani, will be up on our Patreon next week.